Open your Bibles today to Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. The famous, "Then came Amalek." Then came Amalek. Exodus chapter 17, starting in verse 8. "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, 'Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." In verse 13 and 14, "And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.'" Join me in a word of prayer. Father, I pray now that I decrease and you increase. I pray that you use me as your mouthpiece and you were heard to hear today, God, through your word. I pray that there are searching hearts, wondering hearts, ones that is lost, that they might hear something today that might prick that heart and might make them a decision, an eternal decision tonight, God. Thank you for this church, this opportunity. Give me strength, courage, boldness to preach your word tonight. And it's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right. So we're going to have so let's first get a little background of the situation we're in, okay? We started out, "Then came Amalek." So we have Israel, who has just been delivered out of Egypt miraculously. Oh, that's an incredible deal to see how they got delivered out of Egypt, the 10 plagues of our powerful, almighty God. Oh man, that's an incredible study there. So they're delivered out of Egypt, and they're in the wilderness wandering. And right before this, they've been provided manna. You know, they're complaining. They're complaining to God. They're murmuring, as the Bible says, against God about food. So God provides them manna, this miracle. And then right before this, in this same chapter, we see that they're also murmuring because of their lack of water. Because of their lack of water. So again, the Lord provides. Moses is smites the rock and water's provided. So they've been provided food. So first they've been delivered out of Egypt. They've been provided food. They've been provided water. They've been through some hard times. But now they seem to be in an okay position finally. Oh, then came Amalek. Wow. And we're going to talk about that a little tonight, of how in our times, and I want to compare Amalek to the flesh tonight a little bit, but in our times, we seem like things have been provided, things are going well, and we look back and it's then came Amalek. So the present scene, we have Amalek, they come against them, they're hindmost, they attack them on their blind side. And we have Moses, he says, "Joshua, I want you to go out, get men, fight Amalek." Moses goes up on a hill with Aaron and Hur, and he's lifting his hands, Aaron and Hur help him, and finally Israel, or God, they win the battle. So I want us to, first I want to kind of set a front porch, and I want to understand a couple of things for our 3 points, okay? Our 3 points we're going to learn about specifically, and I want it to be hopefully our focus this week. I want to pray for leaders. I want to pray for our fellow Christians, our church members. And I want to pray for the lost. Okay, so those are the 3 points that we're going to discuss tonight, but I just want us to understand a little bit about this present situation first. I want us to look at the battle, not physical, but spiritual, okay? I want us to look at this battle as a spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, guys. So I want us to look at this battle here down low under this hill as a spiritual battle and not physical, okay? I want us to be in that mindset. And us realize that every issue in life has a spiritual base, has a spiritual issue at the base of it. Every issue that we see. Because there are no issues with God or with the Spirit or the leading of the Spirit. Things that are contrary to that is where issues become prevalent. You know, and we hear a lot on the news today that we have a race problem, or a presidential problem, a gender problem, a hate problem. No, we have a sin problem. That's it. It's a spiritual problem. That is the base. That is the start for every other issue in this world. It starts at the bottom of sin. That's it. You know, we hear all these news and all these things of how to fix it, of how what will work, what will not work, how can we get out of this? Oh, we elect this person, then he'll deliver us. This person, he'll deliver us. Jesus Christ is going to be the only fix to that problem in the hearts and lives of men and women. That's it. That is the only way. And if we had a nation that believed in Jesus Christ, and not only believed in Jesus Christ, but followed His will, we would see no problems 100%. We know that's true. So if we know there's no problems there, we know the issue must be spiritual. So that's the first. I want to look at this battle, not physical, but spiritual, as they're battling, okay? I want us to picture Amalek as the flesh here, because here's some background information, won't go in too much. Esau and Jacob are brothers, and they didn't get along too well, and now these Amalekites come by, and they're descendants of Esau. So I want us to look as Amalek, as the Amalekites, as the flesh, as carnal, as sinly, and I want us to look at Israel as God's people, spirit. I want to look at Israel as God. Secondly, I want us to realize that the real battle here, guys, is not down there, it's on the hill. Okay? The real battle is on the hill. Look at verses 10 and 11. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. The outcome of that fight depended on one thing, and that was Moses' hands up or Moses' hands down. That's where the battle was being fought, on the hill, as he was praying. That was the outcome. Whether his hands are up or whether his hands are down. It didn't say, oh, Joshua was fighting good and he had a great strategy down low. No, it said Moses' hands were up or hands were down. The real battle here is on the hill. And I want to realize the real battle a lot of times is in our prayer life, and prayer can overcome these battles, okay? I want us to be in that mindset before we go into these 3 points about prayer. Not anything else. The battle is on the hill. We cannot do it ourselves, but have to rely on God. And that brings me into the next thing I want us to understand. The battle is God's, not our own. We've got to realize that. I know I'm prideful. I'm competitive. I grew up playing baseball all my life, and I've always believed that everything relies on me. That the outcome of every situation can depend on my power and my willpower. But yet, not a lot of times that's not true. The battle is God's, not our own. We just pray and point towards Christ. And not just point, but sometimes we can point and lead. But we cannot save anybody. We don't have that power to save a lost soul. Oh, I wish I did. But I don't. I don't have that power. I can pray for a lost individual. I can point them to Christ. I can lead them there to the cross. But they have to make that decision. The Holy Spirit convicts and the Holy Spirit saves, not me. We cannot save. We cannot force somebody to be more spiritual either. I mean, I've tried that. It doesn't work very well. It honestly pushes them away more than it brings them in. I'm trying to force somebody. But yet, I won't be on my knees praying for them. Just praying for them. It's incredible. If you start praying, all these people are praying for somebody, you see lives changed a lot of times. Because the real battle's on the hill. Once our hands are up, we're praying for that lost the Lord changes lives. There's a family member situation of mine. Me and my dad were talking this weekend, and he said, you know, such and such is getting baptized. It's a kid about 15, 16 years old. And I said, oh, yeah, that's good. He said, well, there's an issue. I don't know if he's saved. He's just wanting to get baptized, and they're in this certain church, and those teachings aren't very right, and he's getting kind of upset about it, and he's like, you know, what should I do? You know, his first reaction was, man, you gotta go to his dad, and you gotta be hard nosed and let him know what's right and what's wrong and everything like that. And I began to think. So we left the conversation, I thought about it a little later, came to the next day and said, let's pray for him. And then if he ever asks a situation, just tell him to read the Word of God. Because that is what changes the life, is the Word of God, is the Holy Spirit and prayer. There's nothing I can force and shove and give all my wisdom, etc. No, let's just pray for him. Read the Bible, because that's the sword. That's the sword in our battle. I just told him, I think that's the best thing to do for him. Just pray for him. Give them the Word of God, then they can make the decision. They're going to know the truth once they read that Word. And talking about the battle is God's, not our own. Talking about we just pray and point towards Christ. You know, we see the old story with Philip and the eunuch. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He asked, and the guy said, how can I except some man should guide me? Some man guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So you see here, this guy's heart's being prepared, and he's reading the Word of God. He says, I need God, I need somebody to point me to Christ, somebody to lead me there. He did that. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What's stopping me? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He was saved because Philip there pointed towards Christ, shared the gospel with him. So that's the three things I want us to understand there, guys. That let's look at the battle, not physical, but spiritual. The real battle is on the hill. It's through that prayer. And then the battle is God, not our own. Firstly, let's pray for our leaders. In verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And the first thing I want to talk about is our country. Yeah, that's been on my heart. It has. Hope it's been on everybody's heart as we're watching the news. Just, you know, from the whole election, previous election, finally the election's over, and then all these other issues are coming about. It's just never ending. I've only been around 23 years. I don't know what it was like back in the 1980s. Now, it might have been worse. I don't know, but I think this is pretty bad. You know, this is the first thing I've seen, and it saddens me. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then verse 2 of that chapter says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For kings and for all that are in authority. Guys, let's pray for our local government to make good decisions. Let's pray for our senators, for our House of Representatives. Let's pray for our president to lead this country. You know, and we see all these protests going on. We see all these Facebook posts of every opinion we could ever imagine. All these news analytics. All these opinions and things. What if they were all turned to prayer? What if every protest, every opinion of man was turned to prayer? Where would our country be and what state would we be in 4 years? I could only wish. I can only pray for that. My goodness. That song, I can only imagine what it would be like. Not what the song is talking about, but I can only imagine. If every protest and all that was turned to prayer. It's like you want your voice to be heard, right? People say, I want my voice to be heard. They're out there protesting because they want attention. They want their voice to be heard. Why not let it be heard by God? Who better to listen and respond? He can change anything He wants to. Why are we trying to protest to man and impress man? Let's pray to God. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, it will avail. It will work. Let's turn these worldly opinions, let's turn it to God. Let Him hear. Let Him listen. I'm going to read three verses right here, and we can be encouraged, though, because the Lord is always and will always be in control. He is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords. Okay? I'm going to read three verses here, and this is going to present it to you, and it's country specific. Job 12:23, He increaseth the nations, and He destroys them. He enlarges the nations, and He straighteth them again. Proverbs 21:1 says, The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, He turneth it whatsoever He will. It's His will that will be done ultimately. We saw that back in Egypt, right? Right? As the start of our story, that His will was to deliver Israel out of Egypt, and His will was going to be done. So we can have hope in that. Psalms 22:28 says, For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He is the governor among the nations. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and He raises up kings. Our Lord is in control. So that can be encouraged to us. We know that whoever is leading, we should pray for them, but we know that our Lord's in control. And all in all, to keep things in perspective, if we have Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we know that we have an eternity in heaven, and that should push us and make us smile each and every day. That no matter what happens on this earth, as the missionary said last week, it's like a vapor, it passes away. We have an eternity waiting for us in heaven. And I'll end this talk about our country right here. And this is pretty much it. I mean, this is how our country can be healed, obviously. It says, If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I'll end it there. Church. How about our church leaders? Guys, we've been blessed with Brother Doug. What a wonderful leader. He's one of the most spiritually mature men that I know. He's awesome, isn't he? But he is incredible. He's great. But he is human. He needs to be prayed for, guys. We need to lift him up. He can be up on that hill praying for us all the time, but his arms are going to get heavy. He needs somebody to hold him up. He bears a lot of burdens. My goodness. You think how many... Well, I don't know the percentage of people, but I figure several of them come to him, thank you, Pastor, I'm having a great time. Here's how well my spiritual life is going. But I bet more than not, it's a lot of my spiritual life isn't going very well. I need some help. And those are a lot of burdens to bear, guys. Let's lift him up. Let's pray for him. He shouldn't just be praying for us. Brother Michael, what an incredible ministry he has to reach high school kids. Wow. You see the band, and it's incredible. He's so human, he needs to be prayed for. Brother Kelly Roach,
Oh, and that's another. He's got all these college kids, a crucial pivotal point of their lives, to make a decision on Christ in a dark world and a dark campus where Christ is not that prevalent. Oh, and they can lead a lot of people to Christ, but it's hard. Oh, college kids are hard-hearted a lot of times. They're not very responsive. That can be discouraging. Let's play for Brother Kelly. Brother Ken Worthen, he is one of the most evangelistic guys I know. His heart for the lost is incredible. I hope one day I can have that heart. My goodness, how much he loves to share the Word of God. But you know how discouraging it is? I'm sure everybody he walks up to doesn't say, "Thank you, I love Jesus." You know? Oh, it's got to be discouraging. It's got to be hard. But it's an everyday struggle. Let's pray for him. Let's lift him up. The whole staff. Let's lift the staff up. Brother Greg Long. Brother Wade Ivey. How about our teachers? How about our teachers here that teach every Sunday or teach on Wednesdays? How about our deacons? They don't come to mind a whole lot. They're servants. They don't come to mind. Let's pray for them. There are leaders in our church. Each have struggles. Their arms get weary. Let's hold them up. That should be in our mind and heart always. Man, Sunday's over. We wake up and go to work Monday and we think, well, I can't wait till Sunday. You know what? Brother Michael, Brother Doug, all our teachers, all our staff, they need prayer. Man, I hope a note for myself, I get done with work Friday and I think about what I've got this weekend. I think church, I think, well, let me pray for our leaders in our church. Let's pray for the message. Ephesians chapter 6, in the same one I've just read in verse 18 through 20, says, "Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all prayer, with perseverance and supplication for all saints." He says, "And for me," Paul says, "that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Guys, and again, they can't do it on their own. They have to have Jesus, the power of Jesus Christ through them. Okay? Let's pray for them. Let's lift up our leaders in our church and also our leaders in everyday life, whether that's the boss in our job. Or here's something I wish I would have done as a kid, is I would have lifted up my parents in prayer and said, "Lord, help my mom and dad lead me in a righteous path." But I wanted the opposite, really. When I was a child, I just wanted to, I thought some of their rules and some of the things they said were unfair and they didn't know what they were talking about. Guys, pray for your parents. Pray for them. They're spiritual leaders. Do that. Pray for our leaders. As we see, they need to be upheld. Let's pray for our fellow Christians and church members. Verses 9 and 10, "And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose out men and go fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill." And here in verse 8, then came Amalek. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, he expands this battle a little bit and talks about how they attacked the blind side of the Israelites, okay? When they were low. A lot of times, almost every day, every week in our life, our flesh roars up from our blind side and we're in a battle. We've got to pray for our fellow Christians, our fellow church members, because they are battling the flesh just like you. It roars up in the worst of times. Things are going okay, or things are going bad. It just comes out from nowhere, and then we're in a fight. I know I fight against the flesh daily, and I don't think I'm alone. It gets so bad sometimes that I'm sitting there and my flesh is desiring one thing and my spirit's desiring something else. Oh, and I'm quoting scripture and I'm saying, "God, help me and I'll prevail." And then the devil plays something else in my mind to say, "No, go this way. And it's this constant battle of where do I go? What do I do? And I actually
you make fun of me. And I verbally talk to the devil. I mean, I'm just like, flee, leave. I'm tired of this. I get upset. I get mad at it. I get mad at my old flesh. I sit there and think, why does I have to be so sinful? I cannot wait for eternity. Because this is, it's a battle. It is, and I need prayer. And each and every one of us need prayer. Because we can do it with the Lord on our side, but it sure does help when I've got somebody praying for me. You know, I knew when I was preaching here today, I had my mother text me. My pastor from old church text me, so I'm praying for you, brother. That encourages me and that lifts me up to know that I've got somebody speaking on my behalf. We each need that. Something that Lindsay, I guess it was Lindsay that started it. I don't know if it was or not. In our college, we used to do prayer fists. Okay? And what do you do? You sit in a table and you put your fist down, and then somebody puts it on top, and then somebody puts another fist down on top. Whoever's fist you were under, it was under yours, you prayed for that week. Now, I looked to my left and I saw, say Emily. She was over there. I said, oh, I've got a prayer warrior fighting for me this week. It's going to be a good week when things happen this week. I said, I know she's praying for me. I know Brother Doug's praying for me this week. I know Brother Ken, Brother Michael. I know Jacob's praying for me. All that encourages me when I know somebody cares on my behalf. We all need people praying on our behalf. We would fail without the Lord on our side, but we also need others. We have a church family not to degrade each other, but to lift each other up in fellowship. That is the one difference that should be between the world and the church. Is we don't come to church to be degraded. We come to church to be encouraged. And we have fellow Christians, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that are there to help. And I hope each and every one of us lends a hand. If we are the body, why aren't His arms reaching? Why aren't His feet going? Why aren't His love showing them there is a way? Guys, let's lift each other up in prayer. Also, as a group, we can pray as a group. Group prayer is powerful. There might be several issues going on. Let's get together with our friends and let's pray about it. Let's lift that incense up to God, that prayer. Let's lift it up to God. It says in Moses and in Joshua, choose out men, plural. Guys, if we truly love each other, we will lift one another up. That's the truth. If we love something, we'll care about it. We will lift each other up. And that love can only come through Christ. We will also make the time to pray, make the time to consider others if we really care. That's true. They're on our heart. We'll make the time to pray. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Every one of us can and should pray. A lot of times I look around and says, well, if I slack off this week, I've got all these people around me that I'm sure will do it. But everybody can do a job, and a lot of times nobody does. And anybody could have done it. Take it upon yourselves to love and care for the person to your left, the person to your right, the person in front, the person behind. Love and care for them. Thirdly, pray for the lost. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, the flesh. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Here's the reality. Let's pray for lost people in general. We know that the lost have a home in hell if they remain in their lost state. That's just the honest truth. If they remain there, we know where they're going to end up. How much can we dislike people not to tell them about God? Not to pray for them. Knowing if they're in a lost state, where they're going to spend eternity, how much can we almost hate these people? Not dislike them a whole lot, not to even mention God to them. Wow. The lost will not prevail. It said they won't prevail. They will never prevail. The flesh will not prevail, and they have no hope for eternity in heaven unless it's through Jesus Christ. And here's what that should do. Knowing that, having that heart, that should break our hearts, make our feet go, and make our knees calloused. Oh, it should. It should make our heart heavy for the lost. Let's pray for the lost before a message. Let's pray that God would prepare their hearts. God prepares hearts often. We see it at the woman at the well. We saw it earlier at Philip and the Philippian jailer, Philip and the eunuch. Even Nineveh. Think about Nineveh. When Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh and he didn't want to, and he got in the belly of a fish for 3 days, he got spit out. Finally, he goes to Nineveh. He says like six words. Six words. He's like, "You will utterly be destroyed." And you know what they did? They repented right then and there. Their heart was prepared. All they needed was a message. That is the perfect scenario right there. Great things happen when God prepares a heart and God's message is presented and preached. It is the perfect mixture for salvation. Let's pray that God prepares hearts of men and women that are in church. Also, let's pray for them during invitation. I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay? I think this is vital. We're almost done, guys. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 3 through 5. And here, let's keep in remembrance that this is not a physical but a spiritual war we're talking about down here. We must pray for it. As Moses was praying, when his hands were up, they prevailed. Starting in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." War not against the flesh, but spiritual. We must pray that God cast down strongholds on the lost. Arguments. Here, cast down imaginations or arguments, I believe another way that can be put. And everything that is in war against the Spirit at that time in their lives. It says it's warring. It says, let's pray to bring in captivity everything that would hold somebody back from Christ. I was saved when I was 17. I've told y'all that before. I know I sat in that pew a lot of times, and I was spiritually battling many things, and the devil had a stronghold on my mind. And he would tell me all these arguments why I should not go, why I should not give my life to Christ. A more convenient day, I kept telling myself, let's pray that God will bring those strongholds that the devil provides into captivity from the lost as they're being convicted. Because the war with the mind is where the devil prevails a lot of times. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel be presented to them. Whose image of God should shine upon them." Let's pray for the sight to be given to the lost. That while they during that invitation, that their eyes would be opened, that the stronghold of the devil would be released. And they would accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because they're warring. There's going to be people here tonight. They're going to be warring against the Spirit, that have strongholds, that are blinded. Let's pray that the gospel of Christ breaks down that. Amen. And also after invitation, because we know a lot of salvations come after invitation. It's hard to walk down that aisle, accept Jesus, go to the altar. Man, I wish more people did. I wish I did. It's hard. A message that convicts me, and I'm convicted to go and pray about it. It's hard to walk down there in front of everybody at the altar. My heart's thinking about everybody else. Let's pray for them after invitation, because a lot of times the Holy Spirit's still convicting, still working with them. A lot of times. Let's pray for them. Guys, join the good fight. Lost person, join the good fight. Verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Switch sides of the battle. You're never going to win or find happiness in the flesh. Ever. God's side is always and the only victorious side. If God is for you, who can be against you? The answer to that is no one. Switch sides. Bring your friends over. Win the victory in Jesus Christ. As we prepare for an invitation, guys, join the fight and be another voice on the hill that's praying for the lost man. If you're lost here, then join the right side and let your voice be heard on high for your friends that are lost. Right now, lost person, person struggling. I believe Victory is an incredible church. A loving, a heart-filled church. I believe that there's somebody praying for you right now. Know that. That they're praying for you. But more than anything else, Jesus Christ is holding out His hand. He said, I love you. I died on the cross for your sins. And all I ask is that you believe. All I ask. Reach out and grab my hand. If you're lost, I pray that you join the good fight tonight.